yeah, so come and see the change in a person within 4 or 5 days. Amen. And then also, it's Jamie's last service with us tonight. Jamie's moving away, so we pray for Jamie as she heads to a different part of the community. So we're praying for you, Jamie. And then if you can pray for Lucy on the 1st of September, David Cosby is speaking in the morning, and then Alistair will be speaking in the night. And then it's Lucy's last service before heading to university in Belfast. So you pray for her as she heads off, and Alice is going to lead in a time for prayer then for Lucy. That's on the 1st of September. All right, if you have your Bibles, turn to Joshua chapter 17. Joshua chapter 17. Do you know what's incredible? How when a baby is born, how fascinated you are with how quickly they grow. You know, I remember when the kids were born, we had, I don't know if they still do this, but we had a little chart, and you had these two lines, you had a lower line and an upper line, and you know, their weight had to be somewhere in the middle as they kind of progressed through the months and years that they were growing. And we are really concerned about, are they growing enough? Are they big enough? Are they, you know, are they in the right size clothing? Are they... And you're concerned about their growth. How mad then when we get to a certain age that we want to reverse that? We don't just monitor how much somebody grows, then we monitor how much we want to shrink. And we want to kind of have certain parts of the body lose weight so that we can look okay when we go on holidays. But it's all about measuring. We measure a baby when they grow, and then when we get older, we want to kind of make sure that we maybe grown in the right type of direction. And we put a lot of effort into that. If you look at, you know, the industry that we have in terms of diet stuff, in terms of fitness stuff, it is quite incredible. And we put a lot of effort into either growing or dieting. And the point I'm making is this, we don't ever really stay the same. I am very jealous of people who have got high metabolisms. No, I'm not jealous. I hate you. I'm just going to say it as it is. I know it's a strong word, Jill, but I despise you. Because if I look, I can see people and they're just like, cake, pie, burgers, everything. And I'm like, how do you not put on weight? And then I look at a chocolate bar and it's like, go on the scales the next morning. I'm like, where did that come from? So if you have got a high metabolism, you have been blessed. Andrew Davies, you look so smug, it's unbelievable. But if we put a lot of effort into growing or taking care of our fitness or, you know, our dieting, or how much more so should we do that? Not from a physical point of view, but from a spiritual point of view. I was having an about what to call the message tonight. A lot of times in my life, I've heard the phrase, why don't you just grow up? And I can't help it. I can't help teasing the kids, even though both of them are married now, they will still get teased exactly the same. I can't help it. But so many times I've been told, just grow up. But let's call it spiritual growth. So let's be polite. Because I didn't want to say to you tonight, you lot need to grow up. But we do need to grow spiritually. And here's the thing, we are never stagnant. We are either going on with the Lord and we're growing with the Lord, or we are regressing or backsliding, or so we're never stagnant, we're never still, we're never in the same place. Statistics show that the average productivity of a Christian spiritual life is less than 3 years. And I just want to encourage us. Maybe we're not where we should be in our spiritual walk. Maybe we've been sidetracked. Maybe we're not as committed as we used to be. Maybe we're not as dedicated as we used to be. Maybe we're not as enthused as we used to be. You know, I've said this before when we've looked at, you know, athletes, when Paul refers to us as athletes, and when we looked at running our race a couple of months ago, I talked about the excitement on January the 1st of everybody heading to the gym, making those New Year's resolutions, and then by January the 2nd, all the lycra is out with the recycling. You know, the effort wears off. And maybe our spiritual effort has worn off. Maybe we're not as excited as we used to be when we first got saved. Maybe we haven't got that fire in our bellies like we used to have. And I just want to encourage us tonight. I don't want to say to you grow up, but I want to say, let's grow. Let's grow spiritually. Billy Sunday used to say, if we Christians were as weak physically as we are spiritually, we would all need crutches. We need to grow spiritually. Look at Joshua chapter 17. We're just going to look at three quick things this evening. Joshua chapter 17 and verse 13 says, yet it came to pass when the children of Israel were waxing strong that they put the Canaanites to tribute but did not utterly drive them out. And the children of Joseph spake unto Joshua, saying, why hast thou given me but one lot and one portion to inherit, seeing I am a great people, for as much as the Lord hath blessed me hitherto? And Joshua answered them, if thou be a great people, then get thee up to the wood country, and cut down for thyself there in the land of the Perizzites and of the giants, if Mount Ephraim be too narrow for thee. And the children of Joseph said, the hill is not enough for us, and all the Canaanites that dwell in the land of the valley of Chariots of Iron, both they who are of Beth Shean and her towns, and they who are of the valley of Jezreel. And Joshua spake unto the house of Joseph, even to Ephraim and to Manasseh, saying, thou art a great people and hast great power. Thou shalt not have only one lot only, but the mountain shall be thine, for it is a wood, and thou shalt cut it down, and the outgoings of it shall be thine, for thou shalt drive out the Canaanites, though they have iron chariots, and though they be strong. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this day. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for this opportunity to come around your word, Lord. We prayed you'd speak to our hearts tonight, Lord. We prayed you'd help us. Maybe, Lord, there is someone here tonight that is struggling with their walk. Maybe the fire has started to dwindle a bit. Maybe the excitement has gone. Maybe the spark has gone. Maybe the spring in their spiritual step has gone. And Father, we want to reignite that fire. We want to reinstitute that spring in their step. We want to make sure that we are excited for the things of God, that we are walking as we should, that we are growing as we should. And Father, I pray you'd help us to do just that tonight, Lord. We need that encouragement this evening, Lord. So would you help us as only you can? For we pray and ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Now, if we had a health problem, if something wasn't quite right in our lives physically, immediately we try and seek help. I remember Andrew David, I'm sorry, Andrew, I'm picking on you tonight, I don't know why, you can't pick on me next week because I'm not here, but I know Andrew sometimes when he struggles with his health and with his chest, and Charlotte always says the same thing to him. And I said to Charlotte one day, I think it was Spike Milligan, I think it was on his tombstone, where he said, see, I told you I was ill. And I said that to Charlotte one day, and Charlotte said, well, I said, Andrew's going to put on his tombstone, see, I told you I was ill. And Charlotte said, and what I'm going to put on the bottom of it is, see, I told you to go to the doctors. When we are unwell, when something is not right with our bodies, physically, normally, if you're not Andrew Davis, we seek medical help. We seek advice because we know something is not right. But oftentimes, when something is not right spiritually, we almost ignore it. We kind of brush it under the carpet or simply make excuses for it. And we wouldn't like to admit that something's wrong. And not all of us like to admit that we've got a physical ailment. Not all of us like to go to the doctors. I understand that. But when we look at our Christian growth, if we want to grow spiritually, then we have to be found in the Word of the Lord. We have to put the effort in. When you look at anybody who does any kind of weight training. I tried lifting weights once, and every time I feel like weight training, I've got to sit down and let the feeling pass. It's just not for me. I have just not got the build for it. But here's the thing. If I went with Josh and Matt, and they like, look at them, they're massive, and they like lifting weights. If I went into the gym with them and tried to lift the same weights that they did, I'd probably end up with a hernia. But that takes effort. It takes putting in the time and the effort and the commitment and the dedication. So if we want to grow spiritually, guess what? It's going to take time and it's going to take effort and it's going to take commitment. And we can't expect then to not put the effort in and then win all of these great spiritual battles. We can't expect to coast through our spiritual walk. We can't expect to coast through our Christianity. We can't expect to just kind of breeze through just doing the absolute basics. And then when it comes to the Goliaths in our lives, or when it comes to the mountains in our lives, or when when it comes to the valleys in our lives, we can't expect to climb the mountains or get through the valleys or defeat the giants if we are just coasting. There's got to be an effort on our part. Just as there are enemies to physical growth, there's also enemies to spiritual growth. Listen, the devil doesn't want you to grow spiritually. He doesn't want you to be more than a conqueror. He doesn't want you to be a spiritual warrior. He doesn't want you to be a spiritual athlete. He doesn't want you to be a spiritual fighter. He doesn't want you to grow. Because when you grow spiritually, that's when the devil and his demons start to panic. But if we just kind of coast through, then they've got nothing to worry about. So we're just going to look at a few things. We're going to look at how we fail to grow and what we ought to do in order to grow. So first of all, we fail to grow when we exercise a partial conquest. When we exercise a partial conquest, we will fail to grow. Look at verses 12 and 13 of chapter of Joshua 17. Yet the children of Manasseh could not drive out the inhabitants of those cities, but the Canaanites would dwell in that land. Yet it came to pass when the children of Israel were waxing strong, they put the Canaanites to tribute, but did not utterly drive them out. So here's the thing. The children of Israel had conquered the land. They'd conquered many of the enemies in Canaan at that time. But a lot of the enemy was still there. They didn't drive them out fully. They didn't follow God's word to the letter. They kind of did. Let me put it in this terms then. You ever told a child to go and clean their room? And I'm going to ask you this question. How many times has your child cleaned their room like you would clean it? I never did. My mum would say, right, go and clean your room. Yeah, okay. You'd hide stuff. You know, you'd kind of take any dirty washing and like hide it at the bottom of the wardrobe, or you'd kind of shove stuff under the bed. So it sort of looked clean, but you'd not really put the effort in. And that's what the children of Israel did in Canaan. God said, drive out the inhabitants, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, drive them out, because it was God's judgment upon them for their wickedness. And the children of Israel just kind of went, oh, well, we'll kind of do Jericho, and we sort of half-heartedly did Ai, and they didn't drive them out fully. It was only a partial conquest. Joshua 16:10 says, and they drave not out the Canaanites that dwell in Gezer, but the Canaanites dwell among the Ephraimites unto this day and serve under tribute. And in Judges chapter 1, we actually discover an important clue concerning their problem. Judges chapter 1 and verse 27. Judges 1:27 says, neither did Manasseh drive out the inhabitants of Bethshean and her towns, nor Tanakh and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Dor and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Ibleam and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Megiddo and her towns, but the Canaanites would dwell in the land. And it came to pass, when Israel was strong, they put the Canaanites to tribute, and did not utterly drive them out. Neither did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites that dwell in Gezer, but the Canaanites dwell in Gezer among them. Neither did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants of Kitron, nor the inhabitants of Nahal, nor the Canaanites dwell among them and became tributaries. Neither did Asher drive out the inhabitants of Akko, and so on and so on and so on. So you see the problem. Before Israel entered the land, God specified in no uncertain terms that the inhabitants were to be driven out completely, and not a single Canaanite was to be left. But they didn't drive them out. And what did they do then? They complained. They said to Joshua, we've not got enough room. But God said, get rid of the problem. Back in 2009, friends of ours came over from the States, Billy Sampson and his family. He had three teenage girls, and then there was Joe, myself, Hannah and Eve in our house. So there's like nine people in our house. And it was crowded. It was only me and Billy. Everybody else was girls. So there's seven females and one bathroom. Yeah, exactly. Now, I could have solved the problem, and I could have said to them, get on, get out there. But they were over to do a Bible conference, so, and they were doing a conference for this year, so I couldn't exactly kind of get rid of them. But I don't want to say I'd caused a problem, because it wasn't a problem being in my house, but you understand what I'm saying? I couldn't complain about the crowded conditions, because I was the one that allowed those crowded conditions in my house in the first place. And what we have here, if I had turned around and said, oh, this is not fair, I can't believe they're taking up space, I can't believe they're in my house, I can't believe they're doing this. But I was the one that did it. I was the one that said to Billy and Jane and Ashley and Sarah and Emily, hey, come and stay with us. So if I turned around then and complained about it, you'd be like, well, that doesn't make any sense. And that's what's happening here. Joseph's children, Manasseh and Ephraim, have not driven out the people they should have driven out, and they turn around to Joshua and say, hey, this is not fair. There's not enough room. And they were complaining. They had plenty of room, but it was up to them to conquer the land. We are not, if you like, living up to our capacity today. We are allowing things to remain in our lives that ought not to be there. Remember, the Bible says that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. But when we allow certain things to creep into our lives and we don't drive out the enemy fully, then why should God listen to us when we complain and say, hey, Lord, this is not going right for me. Hey, Lord, this is not fair. Hey, Lord, this is happening. And the Lord said, well, you've not driven out the enemy completely from your lives. There is a partial conquest, so to speak. So why? Why do we keep some of these things around? Why do we keep, if you like, these Canaanites in our lives? Well, first of all, oh, that's handy. First of all, there's a spirit of compromise. God said every inhabitant had to go. And we reason, don't we? When God says to us, do not do this, we reason with ourselves. And we say, yeah, but does it really mean that today? I mean, that was kind of like an Old Testament thing. Does that really apply to us today? And you know, can't we bend the rules a little bit? And when we start to compromise in one area, it stands to reason then we'll compromise in another area. And then in another area. And when we know something's wrong, we've got to drive that out. But when there's a partial conquest, we're not going to grow spiritually. So when we compromise, one compromise will always lead to another, to another, to another, to another. And we recognize that not everything in our lives is going to be perfect, because we are not perfect. We recognize that not everything in our lives is going to be plain sailing until we get to glory. We realize that. But sometimes we are the cause of our own issues. Sometimes, as we've said before, we are our own worst enemy. No matter how we say it, if we say to the Lord, yeah, I know the word says, but then we are compromising. And we'll struggle to grow spiritually because of that partial conquest. But not only the issue of a partial conquest comes from a compromise, it also comes from complacency. What did the tribes do? They didn't drive out the inhabitants of those cities. The Canaanites dwelled in the lands and they put them to tribute and didn't drive them out. What they basically said was, well, let's just all live together. How many times do we hear that? Can't we all just get along? No, we can't, because the world is always at enmity with the things of the Lord. So we can't all get along. What happened when the Canaanites stayed? The Israelites didn't have the effect on the Canaanites that they should have, but the Canaanites had the effect on the Israelites that the Lord said was exactly what would happen if they allowed them to stay. They had been the enemy, but now they were slaves in the land, and surely they would then be able to make this work. You know, sometimes when we become complacent about something, and maybe there's a sin, you know, I did so many people say this about smoking. And I say this because you know my testimony. I was a smoker for a long, long time. And it used to drive me mad when people used to say, I can give up whenever I want. Go on, and just give up. But the truth of the matter is, people don't really want to give up. So there's that complacency, well, it won't hurt me. Do you know the amount of times my mum worked in the chest clinic when the chest clinic was up in Courthouse Street in Pondy? And the amount of times my mum would bring home a photo of a lung completely destroyed by smoking, I'd be like, yeah, but that won't happen to me. I haven't smoked for 20 years, and you know, every morning I wake up and my chest is in bits. It is. And I'm still, I haven't smoked for 20 years. It's not a public health, I don't know why I'm even saying that. But I'm saying that, you know, there are some people who, when we become complacent about things, and we say, well, that won't affect me. That won't happen to me. That won't have an adverse effect on me. I can give up whenever I want. I can. That complacency will only allow us to fail to grow spiritually. The truth is, the Israelites couldn't handle it. They said, oh yeah, you know, we can handle the Canaanites, that's fine. We've put them to tribute. We didn't have to drive them out. We'll use them to our advantage. That's not how it worked. There was a partial conquest because of compromise, because of complacency, because of cowardice. If it wasn't so tragic, it would be funny. If you look at verse 16, it says, the children of Joseph said, the hill is not enough for us. And all the Canaanites that dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron, both they who are of Beth-shean and her towns, and they who are of the valley of Jezreel. Joshua said to the people, they said, we want more land. So Joshua said, go and cut down the trees, go and clear the woods, go and grab more land. Well, we can't, because the Canaanites are there. But I thought the Canaanites had been put to tribute. I thought they were working for you. One of the big reasons we don't drive out the Canaanites from our lives, the pet sins and the hidden habits, is because we're afraid we can't. Because we're not strong enough to do it. And to a certain degree, there is an element of truth to that. We're not strong enough to do it. But then that's when we have to rely upon the verses that say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. We have to rely upon the verses that say, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I haven't got the strength to drive out these issues in my life. I haven't got the strength to get the enemy completely out of my life. But I know he can. I know he can give me the strength. I know he can give me the victory, because it says, thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. The victory is already ours. The victory was already the Israelites. The victory, the land was already theirs if they just obeyed the Lord. The victory is already ours. The conquest is already ours if we obey the Lord. But we're too scared to do that. What if then people think we're even more weird than they perceive us to be? You know, we don't mind you doing church on a Sunday, but don't start talking that God stuff to us in work. Now you've just gone too far. And maybe we're afraid to fully drive out the enemy of our lives so that we can grow spiritually, because then people will think that we're odd. What have you got to lose? People already think you're odd anyway. Just go in both feet. We will fail to grow when there's a partial conquest. We will fail to grow when we expect preferential treatment. And here's the thing. Manasseh was the firstborn of Joseph. The Ephraimites were relatives of Joshua. And Joshua at this time now is the head man. Moses is dead. Joshua has taken over. So surely they deserve special treatment. Hey, Joshua, we're family. We need to look out for one another. You know, we know you were in charge at the moment. You know, we don't have to live by the same rules as everybody else. Let's have a little bit of VIP treatment. And Joshua, no, it doesn't work like that. And I'm amazed at how many believers actually feel this way. They know the Lord's governing growth and spirituality, whether that's faithful Bible study and that's prayer, that's being in a right walk with the Lord, diligent obedience to the Word of God. But we expect preferential treatment. We expect God to bless us just because we're His child and we don't have to put the effort in. I want the growth, or I want the reward, but I don't want to put the effort in to get there. You know, the amount of times that I've joined the gym and then cancelled my subscription because my body shape doesn't change. But then you find out when you join the gym, you've actually got to go. You know, I'm paying, you know, £30 a month and sitting in the house and my body's not changing. And I'm like, well, that subscription's a waste of time. Yeah, you've got to put the effort in. But that's what we do. We kind of sit on our Christian sofa and we do absolutely nothing. We put no effort in. We don't read our Bible. We don't pray. We don't pray. We don't come before the throne of grace. And we don't have a desire for things to change in our lives. But we expect God to do that for us without us having to put any effort in at all. And our passage here reveals two factors that contributed to this thought of preferential treatment. First of all, there's haughtiness. The sons of Joseph boasted that they were a great people. The children, in verse 14, the children of Joseph spake unto Joshua, saying, why hast thou given me but one lot and one portion to inherit, seeing I am a great people, for as much as the Lord hath blessed me hitherto? Now, we recognize the fact that these two tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim, in effect, had a double portion because of Joseph's sins and because the Levites ended up becoming the priestly line. But that went to their head. They thought that this qualified them for preferential treatment. And we know how dangerous pride is. Pride is a subtle termite. We probably don't really understand much about termites in this country, but Han and Daniel had a problem with the house, and you know some of the issues they've had with their house. And one of the issues was because of the mold that had crept in, the wood had become a problem, but at the back of the house, termites had eaten away at the wooden beams and the wooden siding. And it's incredible. I've never seen anything like it. You literally, I suppose it's like woodworm, but you literally touch the piece of wood that these termites have been eating, and it just absolutely crumbles. For some of the pieces on the outside, they still look sturdy, but then you touched it, and the whole thing would just crumble. And that's what pride is like. Pride is a termite that eats away at the foundation of Christian growth. Because pride says in its haughtiness, I'm okay. I'm where I need to be spiritually. Let me just tell you something. First and foremost, none of us are where we need to be spiritually. None of us will ever be where we need to be spiritually until we finally get to glory. But until we get there, we are to strive every day to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are meant to grow. But pride says, I don't need that. I'm okay. An ancient Indonesian fable tells of a turtle that could fly. He would hold onto a stick with his mouth as it was carried by geese. When the turtle heard the onlookers on the ground saying, aren't those geese brilliant? His pride was so hurt that he shouted, it was my idea. Of course, he lost his grip and his pride became his downfall. What the children of Joseph had was not big enough for them. They wanted more. But unless we humble ourselves, we are always going to stumble. We will fail to grow when we expect preferential treatment. And that comes from haughtiness and laziness. The main reason why I don't grow physically, muscularly, is because of laziness. I'll be honest with you. I don't want to go to the gym. I don't. I'd love the physique of somebody who goes to the gym. Absolutely. But my mind says, you're too old for that. What are you doing? Sit down and eat another pie and put the telly on. So in order for me to get the physique that I really want, I'd have to not be as lazy as I am. And the problem is, from a spiritual point of view, we don't grow as we should, because spiritually sometimes we can be a bit lazy. We want the results without putting the effort in. And that's what was happening with Manasseh and Ephraim. Joshua told them, if you want more land, go and cut down the trees. The land is there. You've got to put the effort in. All you've got to do is cut down the trees, drive out the Canaanites. But that's exactly what they weren't willing to do. They didn't want to build. They didn't want to battle. They just wanted to beg. And we're the same way sometimes. We have to recognize that the Christian war, the Christian race, the Christian fight is hard. It's tough. It requires effort on our part. It requires commitment on our part. It requires us to put in the work on our part. But oftentimes, we want the spiritual growth, but we don't want to put the effort in to get there. It's useless to beg God for more growth if we're not willing to build for it, if we're not willing to battle for it. Because God said it's not fair just to beg for it. One day a father took his son to Spurgeon's College to study for the ministry under the Prince of Preachers. When Mr. Spurgeon told the father the course of instruction would require several years, the father said, "My son is an unusually bright young man. I'm certain you could arrange for him to finish much sooner." Mr. Spurgeon replied, "Sir, God takes 20 years to grow an oak tree and only 6 months to grow a squash. Which do you want your son to be?" There's no shortcuts to maturing as believers. There's no shortcuts to maturity as Christians. But in order for us to grow spiritually, then it's going to take discipline. It's going to take determination. It's going to take commitment on our part. We fail to grow when we require preferential treatment. We fail to grow when we exercise a partial conquest. We fail to grow when we avoid biblical instruction. I remember, I think it was Steve that did it in a men's meeting a couple of years ago when he talked about the Bible. And he said, if you take the acronym of Bible, it is best instructions before leaving earth. And I like that. I think it is the best instructions before leaving earth. We will fail to grow when we avoid biblical instruction. Look at what Joshua said was the solution to their problem. Verse 17, Joshua spake unto the house of Joseph, even to Ephraim and to Manasseh, saying, "Thou art a great people and hast great power. Thou shalt not have one lot only, but the mountain shall be thine, for it is a wood, and thou shalt cut it down, and the outgoings of it shall be thine, for thou shalt drive out the Canaanites, though they have irons, have chariot of irons, and though they be strong." Joshua's solution to the problem was, clear out the forest, drive out the Canaanites. That was the simple solution to their growth problem. Until that was done, there could be no expansion expected. The land was theirs. It was right there. It was theirs for the taking. All they had to do was put the effort in, clear out the trees, drive out the Canaanites, and the land was theirs. It's the same with us. They had the instruction to do exactly what they needed to do in order to grow, in order to be blessed. And we've been given the instructions that we need to be able to grow spiritually. But we don't like following instructions. You know, I don't, maybe she will watch this, but I've said this so many times. This is what I don't understand. I wasn't a great child with my parents. I understand that. I was an absolute tear away. I get that. My kids, for the best part, have been incredible. They were nothing like I was. Praise the Lord. But the thing that drives me mad more than anything is if you tell them to do something, if they were about to do that anyway, they refuse to do it because you've told them to do it. Is that a normal thing? Is that what normally happens? Yeah, who else? Is anybody else of you have that built into you? What's the matter with you? But I was like, Eve, go and tidy your room. I was just about to go and tidy it. Now you've told me to do it, I'm not going to do it. Well, but you were going to do it anyway. Yeah, but you've told me to do it. So because you've told me to do it now, I don't want to do it. But you were actually heading there because I told you to do it. And sometimes we're like that when it comes to the word of the Lord. We don't like following instructions. Hey, let me ask you this question. This is probably more towards the men. Men, how many of you have ever done a flat pack without following the instructions? Yeah, I'm not doing that. Dad, you've never done a flat pack in your life. You fancy lying in church. Yeah, I've done that without the instructions. The amount of phone calls I've had. Dad, how does this remote control work? Dad, what button do I have to push on the TV? Dad, what? Flat pack. But we do, don't we? And it's the same. We buy a gadget from the shop, whether it's a coffee machine, whether it's a TV, whatever it is, and we get it home and they're like, I don't need the instructions. I'm just going to push every single button and we're going to kind of do this by chance. We don't like following instructions. My dad, and sorry dad, I'm picking on you tonight. If the sat nav tells dad to turn left, he's like, I'm not turning left. I'm going to go right. I'm not having yet another woman in the car tell me what to do. I'm the master of this vehicle. But we don't like following instructions. As comical as that is from a material point of view, we don't like following instructions from a spiritual point of view. And all the Lord tells us to do, clear out the clutter. You want to grow spiritually? Clear out the clutter. Chop down the trees. You know, Mum and Dad just moved. And I would say they probably went down, 50% in size. They went from three beds, living room, kitchen, conservatory, bathroom and a toilet, to two beds, small kitchen, small living room. So they had a downsize. You would not believe how much stuff they accumulated over 80 years. There was stuff everywhere. I would not be surprised if at some point, if you ever shop in any charity shop in Ponty, Porth, or Talbot Green, you will own something from my mum and dad's house. When they said they were moving, I went in, I was like, we got to clear out the clutter. We got to get rid of some stuff. But sometimes we allow that stuff to build up in our lives. And we need a bit of a spring clean every now and again. We need to clear out some of the trees, to clear out the harmful things that are cluttering our lives. Clear out the clutter. The tree symbolizes. And when you think about it, you know, the trees are useful, they're good. So you could say that the trees symbolize the harmless things in our lives. They weren't hurting to be there, but they didn't need to be there. You know, there's a lot of stuff that we do that's not necessarily harmful or sinful or wrong, but it doesn't need to be there. Do you know what one of the nicest things was when Joe and I went away for her birthday? You know what one of the nicest things was? No Wi-Fi. Nothing. No Wi-Fi. I didn't have the phone. I didn't have 4G, 3G, 5G, nothing. And it was really nice. It was like, oh, is this what it felt like before mobile phones? It was lovely, and I'm not saying that mobile phones are a problem. I need, you know, anything in the right moderation is okay, and I'm not saying that they're a problem, but it was just nice not to have that clutter. And that's not saying I was glad none of you were able to contact us. I'm not saying that at all, but it's the extra stuff. You know, once you start looking at something, and that leads on to something else, and then that leads to something else, and you think, oh, I need to do that, and before you know it, 3 or 4 hours have passed away, and it's made no difference to your life whatsoever. Sometimes we just need to clear out the clutter. It was nice to actually just read a book for a change, instead of, because that's what we become accustomed to. The truth is, we all have the same amount of time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and we'll make time for what is important to us. If we want to grow spiritually, then let's clear out the clutter, let's follow the Lord's instructions, and let's put the effort in. And then finally, not only do we need to clear out the clutter, we need to clean out the corruption. Joshua said, cut down the trees, drive out the Canaanites. Not only have we got to get rid of the harmless things in our lives that add no benefit to our spirituality whatsoever, but we've also got to get rid of the harmful things in our lives, the things that can corrupt our lives. You'll never have the power to drive out the habits of sin in our lives until we give God the proper priority and that daily time of fellowship and Bible reading and prayer time. The principle of growth lies with each and every one of us, whether it's physical or whether it's spiritual. Joe says all the time, if it's important, we'll make the effort. If it's not important, we'll make the excuse. If spiritual growth is not important to us, then we will make every excuse to not be in church, to not read our Bibles, to not pray, to not walk with the Lord, to not grow with the Lord. But if it's important to us, then we put the effort in. We'll make the time for our Bible reading. You know, we use a whole host of things as an excuse to miss church. Church ought to be the excuse to miss everything else. Do we really want to grow? Do we want to grow spiritually? Then we've got to put in the effort. Clear the clutter. Clean out the corruption. We fail to grow when we avoid biblical instruction. We fail to grow when we expect preferential treatment. We fail to grow when we exercise a partial conquest. You are more than conquerors. God has saved you for a purpose and for a reason. He wants us to live a victorious Christian life. The victory is already ours. He's won it. So let's enjoy the victory. And let's put the effort in so that we can grow as believers. And that others might see that there's something different in our lives. And that difference is the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this day, for this time together, and this privilege of coming around your word, Lord. We just prayed you'd continue to speak to our hearts tonight, Lord. I recognize that there are many different people here, many different people watching online who may be in many different positions in terms of their spiritual journey. And Father, we prayed you'd just help each and every one of us. If there's someone here that is struggling with their walk, then we prayed you'd give them the encouragement just to keep going. If there's somebody here or watching online that has backslidden a bit, then we pray that you would challenge them to put things right, to clear out the clutter, to get rid of and cleanse the corruption. And Father, we pray that as we follow your biblical instructions for us, and then we would be able to walk worthy of the vocation with which we've been called, and that others might see Christ in and through our lives. So Father, we just pray now that you would help us to be more than conquerors. You would help us to be those spiritual victors. That you would help us, Lord, to enjoy the growth that is available to us as believers. And we'll be mindful to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. For we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.